Okay. This is the topic no one wants to ever hear about. But probably one of my favorite things to do is to sit down around a kitchen table and figure out exactly what your costs are. My father hates it. He told me he's ready to retire if he'll have to stop having these conversations with me. So let's go through some things. So everyone, when I say managing cow costs, what do you equate that to? Being a low-cost producer? So I'm going to tell you how to cut your costs and not spend any more money. We are actually going to talk about managing, not cutting, because I don't think you can really manage if you haven't measured it. And so here's my picture. Can you squeeze the profit right out of your business by being a low-cost producer? And I truly believe you can. And so I'm not saying I did not give you permission to go hog wild and spend money wastefully. So as I said, you can't manage what you don't measure. And so do you know what it costs to put on a pound of production? Do you know what it costs you for whatever kind of reproduction you have? If you don't, you need to figure it out. And so in 1995, these were the topics at the range beef cow. How many, if I put one up there today, these would probably be the things we would tell you to evaluate again. The one thing we'd probably add to that list is watch your investments and your depreciation. Anything that depreciates, you need to seriously consider. So on page 71, I have two slots there for you. One is to write down what your annual cow cost is. One is to write down what your break-even is on your calves. You just sold them, probably, so you should know exactly what that cost to produce you. So I challenge you to write it down. And until you write it down, you might not believe it. So I'm going to show you what the four states are. But basically, we're going to talk about going through some of these bits and pieces today. And this isn't a conversation anyone ever wants to have. So here are the costs for the four states. As Ivan indicated, Colorado is still at $475, so that's your $500, Ivan. In 2012, Nebraska, when I called them, they said it was $915. That's $440 difference between our four states. You can note that there's different years. There's certainly different kinds of production. What's included, what's not included? Some did not include replacement class for those replacement heifers. I can't maintain a cow herd without putting some new stock in it, probably. Eventually, something will die or get hit by lightning. The other thing is some of them have grazing leases or federal leases, which decrease feed costs substantially. We're not going to, in the preceding paper, I went through what the differences were, but we're not going to cover those today because they only gave me 30 minutes, and this whole conference is about managing annual cow costs, not just 30 minutes. So this is your culprit, right? Feed cost is the big one. It will always be the big one. It's 50 to 75% of your costs. And we might as well accept it. I'm never going to get it down to 10%, unless I lie. So let's talk about some of these pastures. I want to go through four different scenarios on pasture. What is a fair price? I remember doing this in 2000 with some producers, and the guy says, my land's paid for, so I don't have to pay for grass. So here's what he said. I'll put my taxes down per acre and charge that. That is my rate for paying my cows. Is that fair? Under no circumstance would I consider that a fair amount to put on as your rate. There's opportunity costs. I can rent it out and make more money than my taxes, I would hope. So let's look at some rental rates. So we can use rental rates. My imaginary herd is 250 cows. Anyone find any pasture rates for $25 around? If you do, call me. I have a long line of producers that would like those. And so if we're going to graze these cattle for 7 months, have to pay that. That's $175 a month or a year. And so for my 250 cows, that's $43,000. So I put a more realistic number there, maybe $50. So when you think about that, that's $350 a year. That's almost Ivan's $500, and I haven't done anything else. So as you think about that, that's pretty substantial. So the third scenario that I get is I just am a new producer. I bought my land. I have to make my land payments. I have to make my interest. So what I did was I assumed you had 250 cows, 20 acres per cow, so you needed 5,000 acres. You found a deal. You stole it for $500 an acre. I'm now East River. They would shoot me if I put that number up there. So that's the number I used for purchase price. And then we used a 5% interest. So I took that and divided it out by the 250 cows, and it comes up to the same as $50 rental rate. And so you may say, well, that might be fair, may not. But I think you need to seriously figure out what is fair for your operation and make it realistic. So those are just three proposals. And I'm not really suggesting number one is an acceptable option of just taxes. So let's go through some of these other ones. Grazing lease, if you have a grazing lease, you know what you wrote the check for, right? So we really don't need to talk about that one. Hay, does anyone feed any hay? I see some nice storage piles along the way. I've seen some people burn hay piles. So what's a fair price? Your fuel costs? And depreciation on your equipment, what you can sell that hay for. So think about some of those things as you approach those. Crop residue, that would be pretty common in Nebraska. Might be a little tougher to find in western South Dakota. But Rick, what's a fair price for corn stalks? You might know what you have to pay. Some people will tell me it's free because I paid for it with my corn. Well, then your corn should be credited for what you're using for your cattle. So as you think about some of these things, you need to be fair in what you're calculating. And so it's going to be more than probably $500. So here I have some replacement costs. So I did two things, or reproduction costs, sorry. Skipped ahead a couple slides. AI-ing. John was just up here talking about AI-ing. So I'm just going to AI my favorite 100 cows, not the whole herd. And it's going to cost me $50 per cow. Is that fair? That might be a little low. But if I divide that by the 250, that's $20 a cow. You might be asking me, why did I divide it by 250 and not 100? Because that's spread across all your cows, because those bulls are going to be cleaning up those other 100 cows. And so then let's talk about those breeding bulls. So I've got a little example down there. We have a purchase price of $4,000. Is that a reasonable price? I think this fall or last winter you would have been a reasonable quality bull. You got a $1,000 salvage value. Your yearly feed cost for that bull was, I estimated, at $400. Based on the previous, it might be a little cheap. So that comes up to $1,600. I put a 10% risk in there because no matter if I buy a good quality bull, that will be the one that will be injured, as John said, break its leg, whatever, and I'll have to replace that. So that's kind of my insurance for that odd bull I'll have to replace. And then I'm going to have to pay interest on that money. So that's my $800. So I come up with $5,800 for that bull to be used in my herd for 4 years. So what is my cow cost per year, or bull cost per cow? What's going to determine that is how many cows I'm going to run with that bull. So for a $4,000 bull, and I'm going to run it with 20 cows, that's $80. If I run it with 30 cows, that's $53. That's some huge differences. So, but what I want to point out to you is when you're managing your cow costs, is look at a $2,000 bull with 1 to 20, that's 44. And if I purchase a $3,000 bull, it's 41 if I run it 1 to 30. This is my assumption, and it might be incorrect, is if the same quality options are out there, if I spend $1,000 more, I'm going to get a better bull, and hopefully then I'll have better calves at the end to sell. And so is that an investment in your operation? So to think about it, you really need to calculate exactly what those actual cost is per cow. So we're going to go on to replacement costs. I think John Haldis used 15%. A lot of the producers I've worked with, they've been using 20%. So I did an example, 20%. I got you some really cheap heifer replacements. They're 550 pounds at the bottom. And I paid $175 a pound. So they're about $1,000 per heifer. And so for having to replace 50 of your cows with these replacement heifers, that's almost $200. Did anyone think about that? So what happens if I can keep a cow around 1 year longer and decrease my replacement cost? So I just dropped it to 15, and that basically gave me $12,000 more to use in management to increase the longevity of my cows. And so as you think about some of those things, it's worth putting a pencil to paper or using a computer to calculate some of these. And I know a lot of people will say, I work through it in my head. I think I'm smart enough to do that some days, but I really double count or forget this little detail or that little detail, and then the numbers aren't quite what they should be. And so I really do challenge you to write it down so that you can go through it and reassess it, to do that partial budget to do these things. So animal health, we get a bill from our veterinarian, is that right? It's really easy. I write them a check. I know what those expenses are. So this is who I'm going to tell you to get your animal health recommendations from. Use your veterinarian-client relationship. See what you need, what you don't need. I don't have a DVM behind my name, and so I'm not going to go there. And all the veterinarians can be happy with me now. So I would challenge you to actually have a conversation with your veterinarian before you have a crisis, instead of just visiting with them when there's a crisis. Labor costs. Is this one easy to calculate? This is the money that you spend above the table, under the table, and you trade for. And so think about all of those costs. I always catch my dad because he's like, oh, so-and-so came and helped. And I just gave him a quarter of a beef or a half of a beef or whatever. Well, those things add up quickly. So as you think about those are benefits or expenses to your operation. And I'm going to quick go through some of these because they get really boring really fast. Other direct costs, those feed fuels, I challenge you to have a notebook to calculate these, especially if you have a diversified operation. It's really easy if you have a cow-calf operation and only a cow-calf. And when I mean cow-calf, all your calves are removed from your operation at weaning. There's no backgrounding. There's no tying them over for 30 days. They're sold at weaning. That's the cow calf. Those are other enterprises backgrounding calves, retained ownership. And I'm not saying don't do those. I'm just saying they need to be able to be profitable and analyzed on their own merits. The other one is if you have hay and you sell it, then you might want to consider that an operation by itself. So that's my soapbox there, and I'll get off of it. The other one is overhead costs. These are fixed costs no matter how many head you have. If I have a really nice corral and I have 500 head, it's not bad. If I have 10 cows and I have a nice corral, it might be really painful. And so as you think about these things, these are some things to think about. And I always, when I look at this list, I always think of what Barry Dunn always said when he did a spa analysis. And a lot of times when I do spa analysis with producers to analyze their production and financial costs, we'll see the same thing. Figure out how you don't need it. Depreciation can be extremely expensive. So with that, this is the one thing you forget, as often forgot, is to put the cow and the bull costs back in before you calculate the break-even for your calves. Because if you don't, you're going to overinflate what those calves are going to need to bring for a break-even. And so as you think about that, just adding those cull animals back in. So now that I put you to sleep, here's four really good resources, one from each state, that you can use to help you calculate this. There's also individuals in those states that are willing to help you do that. And it's painful, but I highly recommend you do it. So they told me to talk about managing costs, and I don't think you can do that without truly assessing diminishing return. And we all know what diminishing return is, and that's we spend a quarter, get a dollar, right? And we get to continue to do that until some point we spend a quarter and we don't get our dollar back. And so the best example of this is fertilizer for a corn crop. You know, at some point you're going to add and add, and at some point you can keep on adding fertilizer, but you don't get additional yield. One thing you need to know within diminishing return is you need to know what your end price is. How many people know the end price when you are going to supplement your cows this winter, what you're going to get for your calves next fall? I don't. And so as you think about those, that's the little bit of stumbling. Well, there's a lot of ideas within diminishing returns, and so I want to give you two examples. One is supplementing your cows. Is that a concept of diminishing return? Yeah. You're only going to supplement to the ultimate. What happens if you don't supplement? I think Rick and Amanda talked about some of those impacts that can happen. So if I let body condition slip, I might see less calves this spring, maybe less calves next spring because they're not in the right body condition for breed back. And so that has a huge impact in the long term. And according to Rick and Amanda, it impacts the quality of the calf I'm going to have to sell. So that's just one example that we have. The other one I want to throw out here is hay. And when I moved to South Dakota, I come from northern Minnesota, and if you don't have a good hay pile, you're not going to survive the winter. But what happens to improve hay storage? We can typically see between 20 to 40% of hay loss each year. And so say we improve the storage by covering it or putting it on rock, or we change how we feed it. So we bought some rings, or we have a bale processor so the calves and cows can get more. Those kind of things, and we see a 20% improvement. So I just did some cowboy math. 20% in hay, $100 a ton, fair, right now. That's $20. I fed them 7 months on pasture, so I'm going to need them to feed them something for the next 5 months.
We're going to have 2 3/4 tons for that cow for 5 months. So if I take $20 times that, that's $55 per cow. Has anyone ever did that math? What kind of improvements can you do to help reduce your loss? And so as you think about those things, I challenge you to think of some diminishing return opportunities. Because I honestly believe sometimes, and I'm guilty, I'm in extension, every good meeting I stand up and tell you, reduce costs, reduce costs, reduce costs. And I sometimes have, in my years of being in extension, have started to question if that's our best option. So the other thing I want to talk to you about is your marketing or selling of your calves. You don't know how many conversations I have with producers that this is the conversation goes something like this. I just don't know what Friday I should sell on. Anyone ever do that? They're not worried about where they're going to sell because they've sold the same place, and I don't care if it's on video or in a sale barn or a private treaty. They've done the same thing for 20 years. And it's the first or the second or whatever week of the. I challenge you to know more than your buyer knows. If you sell your calves at weaning, do you know how they perform post-weaning? Do you know how they perform in the feedlot? Do you know if they're gaining 2 pounds a day or 4 pounds a day? Do you know how they're converting their feed? Because your buyer will know that. And if he's an order buyer, the guy that just finished your calves, he will pass that right on back to them to say, don't go over this. They're not performing in my feedlot. And the other thing I question is, do you know what carcass quality they're bringing? I just took 2 animals here. Which ones do you want? Do you want animal 1 or animal 2? Animal 1 dressed 64%, weighed 864 pounds, hot carcass, had a 16-inch ribeye. It was high select carcass. Animal 2 was 60% or 59% dressing, 620 pounds, and a 10-inch ribeye, and it was a prime. Which one do you want to fill your lot with? I challenge you that you need to know more than your buyers of your animals. And there are programs out there to help you figure this out without having to invest your whole herd or tying it up into retained ownership. Because I've been on some of these calls with bankers, and they're probably not going to let you delay your payment to retain ownership on all your calves to get this information. And we have 3 producers that are coming up after me to talk about what they actually do on their places. And I'm guessing they probably have figured out they know what their calf qualities are. So here's our profit. And I could only find a few, and I apologize. I could find more from South Dakota than some of the other states. But so simply, profit is income minus expenses. So in South Dakota, in 1993, it was $104. That with the group that they had. Wyoming in 2010 was a negative $170. I can't afford to stay in business at that rate. Because I don't think any of us are doing it to not make money. In South Dakota in 2011 was $88. Last year was minus $27. And that was partially due to the cost of feed last year. So as you look at those are pretty tight margins. So this is my challenge to you. And I know there's people in all the states that will help you. to do some things. And I forgot I had this slide, sorry. But in addition to what you're doing, this is what Cattle Facts are saying the impacts are having on you. How many of these can you control? The people that just lived through the blizzard certainly did not feel they could control that weather. We just got done with the drought. Numerous people either got hit with blizzard or flood, and none of us could control that. Land values, can anyone say they can slow them down? Nope. Ethanol, their impacts, alternative land use, urban sprawl, governmental policy. Anyone want to try control that one? Age of producer. Are some people in this room like to stop aging? Even if you stop your birthdays, that's not going to really change that. So, and then we have our profit and loss margins. A lot of those we can't control. And so as you think about it, those are other impactors. So here's my challenge. Either put your pencil to paper and calculate your cost and figure out what kind of a product you're producing. I don't care if you do it the old-fashioned way with pencil, computer, because what you want to figure out is, are you feeding your cow money or are they coughing up money for you? Because that's the bottom line, is we're in here to make a profit. And so with that, I will be in the bullpen session tonight, and I thank you for allowing me to share some ideas with you.